Bantam Doubleday Dell Audio Publishing presents Unspeakable by Sandra Brown. Myron, are you listening to me? Carl Herbold glowered at his fellow convict, impatiently shook his head and muttered, "Stupid, stupid." Impervious to the insult, Myron Hutz's vacant grin remained in place. Carl thrust his face closer. "Lose the grin, okay, Myron? This is serious stuff I'm talking here. Has anything sunk into that lump of shit riding on top of your shoulders? Have you heard a fucking word I've said?" Myron chomped down on his payday candy bar. "Sure, Carl. I heard you. You said for me to listen good and pay attention." "Okay, then." Carl relaxed somewhat, but he wasn't convinced that even a fraction of what he'd told Myron would register. Myron wasn't what you'd call brainy. In fact, stretching, Myron's IQ might range in the single digits. He was physically strong and eager to please, but his shortage in the smarts department made him a risk to Carl's carefully laid plans. Having someone with Myron's limitations as an accomplice wasn't without its drawbacks. On the plus side, Carl needed a Myron Hutz. He needed a non-thinker who did what he was told when he was told to do it without question or argument or scruple. That's why Myron was a perfect choice. Even if he'd been a fucking Einstein with gray matter to spare, Myron was missing a conscience. A conscience was internal dialogue. Now, wasn't that a catchy phrase? Carl had picked it up from an article in a magazine. He'd committed it to memory, then pulled it out and used it on the parole board the last time he came up for review. For 5 minutes, he had waxed eloquent on how he had been having internal dialogues with himself about his past misdeeds and the havoc he'd wreaked on his life and the lives of others. These dialogues had shown him the error of his ways and pointed him toward the light of self-discovery and accountability. He was remorseful and wished to atone. The board members weren't impressed by the big words he'd thrown in. They'd seen his speech for the string of bullshit it was and rejected his petition for parole. But supposing the conscience was internal dialogue, that entailed abstract ideas and concepts which Myron was just too plain stupid to grasp. Actually, Carl didn't give a damn whether Myron had a conscience or not. He would act on his impulses of the moment, period, which was precisely why Carl had chosen him. Myron wouldn't go squeamish on him if things got ugly. And speaking of ugly, Myron was one butt-ugly dude. Nearly hairless, his skin had only a trace of pigmentation. Most of his coloration was concentrated in his lips. They were large and unnaturally red. By contrast, the irises of his eyes were virtually colorless. Pale, sparse eyebrows and lashes made his vacuous gaze appear even emptier. His hair was thin but coarsely textured, radiating from his head like crinkled wire. It was almost white. He was particularly unattractive with the half-masticated nougat center of a payday oozing from the corners of his fleshy lips. As his tongue swabbed up the drool, Carl looked away. Many would wonder why he and Myron were pals, as the contrast between them was so striking. Carl was tall, dark, and handsome. He worked out with weights when the mood struck him, but he religiously did push-ups and sit-ups in his cell to keep his torso hard. He had a killer smile that was reminiscent of a young Warren Beatty. At least that's what he'd been told. Personally, he thought he was better-looking than the actor, whom Carl had always thought of as a fruit. Beatty had a great-looking wife, though. A real sweet piece was Mrs. Beatty. Carl was certainly superior to Myron Hutz in the brains department. The quantity Myron lacked, Carl had his extra. He was a great planner. Brilliant ideas just seemed to come to him naturally. He also had a real talent for taking a loosely woven idea and pulling all the strings tight until it became a grand scheme. If he'd been in the military, he would have been a general. But even the highest-ranking officers needed soldiers to carry out their strategies. Thus, Myron. He could have picked his partner from any man in the joint. Myron spooked most people, even hardened criminals. They steered clear of him. But Carl's leadership qualities drew people like a magnet. Seniority had given him a lot of clout among the convict population. that and his innate charisma. He could have anointed any number of inmates as his partner, all of them smarter and meaner than Myron, because for all his violent tendencies, Myron was sweet-tempered. But anybody brainier could also have caused Carl problems. He didn't need anybody with a conflicting opinion giving him lip along the way. Disharmony led to distraction, and distraction led to disaster, namely getting recaptured. All he needed for this escape plan was an extra pair of eyes and ears and someone who could shoot and wasn't afraid to when necessary. Myron Hutz filled the bill. Myron didn't need any cunning. Carl had enough for both of them. Besides, he was going to catch enough guff from Cecil. Cecil thought too much. He overanalyzed every goddamn thing. While he was weighing the odds, he missed opportunities. Like that funny postcard Carl had seen one time of a man holding a camera to his face and taking a picture of the Eiffel Tower while a naked French lady was strolling past. That was Cecil. But Carl didn't want to think about his older brother now. Later, when he was alone, he'd think about Cecil. As he leaned back against the chain-link fence, his gaze roved over the exercise yard. The vigilance was second nature. 20 years of incarceration had taught him always to be on the alert for the first sign of trouble from an enemy, declared or otherwise. He wielded a lot of influence and had a wide circle of friends, but he wasn't a favorite of everyone. Across the yard, a gang of weightlifting blacks were flexing their well-oiled muscles and glaring at him with undiluted hatred for no other reason than that he wasn't one of them. Society was all hepped up about rival gangs, street warfare, vendettas. Laughable. Until you'd been inside, you didn't know shit about gangs. The society inside was the most demarcated, polarized, segregated in the universe. He'd had differences of opinion with the black prisoners, which had caused exchanges of insults, which had eventually led to fights, which had resulted in disciplinary actions. But he wasn't going to get anything started with anybody today or in the near future. Until the day he and Myron had their turn to work on the road crew, Carl Herbold was going to be an ideal prisoner. It was a new program, part of prison reform designed to make convicts feel like contributing members of society again. He didn't give a crap about the social implications. All he cared about was how it affected him. When his turn came to leave these walls and work outside, he would be first on the bus. So he was keeping a low profile, doing nothing that might call the screws' attention to him. No rule breaking, no fights, not even a bad attitude. If he heard a mumbled insult directed at him, he ignored it. What he didn't like, he pretended not to see. A few nights back, he'd had to stand by and watch Myron suck a guy off. The other prisoner, a white trash wife killer 2 years into a life sentence, had bribed Myron with a prize. So Myron had obliged him. Frequently, the more aggressive prisoners tried to take advantage of Myron's mental incapacity. Carl usually intervened. But this close to their break, it hadn't been worth the risk of a confrontation. Besides, Myron hadn't minded too much. In exchange for the blowjob, he'd been given a live mouse, which he'd later disemboweled with his long pinky fingernail. "Now remember what I told you, Myron," Carl said to him now, realizing that rec time was almost up and they would have little privacy for the rest of the day. "When our turn comes up to work the road crew, you can't seem too excited about it." "Okay," Myron said, becoming distracted by the bleeding cuticle around his thumb. "It might even be good if we could look sort of pissed that we got to pull that detail. You think you can manage that, to look pissed?" "Sure, Carl." He was gnawing the pulverized cuticle with all the relish he'd shown the payday. "Because if they think we're eager to go, then..." He never saw it coming. The blow literally knocked him off the bleacher on which he'd been sitting. One second he was looking into Myron's slack-jawed, candy-encrusted grin. The next he was lying on his side in the dirt, his ears ringing, his vision blurring, his gut heaving, and his kidney getting the piss kicked out of it. He forgot about his resolve not to cause or continue any trouble. Survival instinct asserted itself. Rolling to his back, he brought his foot up and thrust it into his attacker's crotch. the black weightlifter who obviously depended strictly on muscle instead of...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?